The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, anyone who recites 10 times durood upon me in evening and 10 times durood upon me in morning, he will receive my intercession. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abu Rafi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that once a guest came to our beloved master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. At that time there was nothing at the blessed home of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to feed that guest. So Huzur sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Abu Rafi to a Jew and told him to borrow flour from him. Hazrat Abu Rafi says that when I reached to that Jew and I told him that my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent me to you so that I can borrow flour from you, so that Jew refused to give anything. He said, unless you leave something as mortgage, you leave something as surety by me, I will not give you anything. So Hazrat Abu Rafi radiallahu ta'ala anhu came back to our beloved master sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa alihi wasallam and informed him that Jew is saying this. So our beloved master sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time said, wallahi, wallahi, by Allah, I am trustworthy in heaven and in earth. And after that, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave an armor to Hazrat Abu Rafi and told him, go leave this by that Jew and borrow flour from him. Reviews of Madani Channel, this beautiful incident from the life of our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam shows that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to entertain the guest even if he didn't have anything at his home. And from this we can also learn that if host is poor and he does not have anything at his home, so it is allowed for him to borrow something from someone and then entertain the guest. The viewers of Madni Channel, as we are discussing the topic etiquettes of host and guest, so let's go to Mufti Sahib and ask him the first question of today. Mufti Sahib, as it is said that if a mehman comes, a guest comes, we must do some sort of takalluf. We should organize something special for him, I mean, out of the routine. So is it regarding the walima as well that we should organize or arrange something special in walima other than the routine?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is emphasized in one hadith to prepare some special food for guest, particularly on the first day, and that is called jaiza. And as far as the matter of wedding feast, walima is concerned, so the commandment of walima is different from others. Arranging walima, arranging that feast is the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and accepting the invitation of wedding feast is sunnat-e-muakkada, that is emphasized sunnah. Means if a person persists on not accepting that wedding feast, he would be sinner. If there is no excuse for him and then he persists on not accepting the wedding feast, then he would be sinner. So the matter of walima is very important, And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arranged that wedding feast on his marriages. But nowadays, as we observe, there are many innovations, there are many wrong things have come in wedding feast. And nowadays, mostly, wedding feast is consisting of showing off pride, arrogance, and some kind of mixing of males and females. So that's why, if that kind of invitation, so then it is not sunnat-e-muqaddah to accept these kind of invitations. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has emphasized upon that, as one sahabi, Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he visited Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw one certain type of yellow color on his dress, and that was not allowed for men. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "What is that color upon your dress?" So he said, "I have got married, and this color is because of that." Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded him to do walima, though it is of one coat. So it means Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized upon that. But it is not necessary to arrange a big ceremony, to arrange a big feast for that. If whatever is available is arranged for the wedding feast, that is allowed, and that the sunnah would be followed in that way as well. That's why in the feast of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes there were only some dates and some cheese, and there were only some other things like that. So in most of the wedding feast of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were only these things. Only in one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arranged his wedding feast, and that was of one goat. And that was the most arranged wedding feast of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's why it is very important to be careful about the matters of walima. Because as I have said, now there are many innovations, many bid'ati sayyi'ah have entered into our wedding feast. There is one hadith particularly regarding that matter. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The worst feast is the feast of wedding." Means the worst feast is the feast of walima. Why? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the reason. The rich people, they are invited, and the poor people, they are left away. So rich people are invited, though rich don't have any need to be invited. If they are not invited, so there wouldn't be any harm for them. But they are invited. And poor people who are in the need of food, so they are left away. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared that kind of walima as the worst feast. And there is another hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, first day is walima, means after marriage, the first day, after the first night, the arranged feast is walima. Then the second day is walima. But the third day is not walima, that is only showing off. That is showing off. It means if a person arranges his walima on first day, then second day, then third day, so the third day would be only showing off. That is not allowed. But nowadays, the fact is this, that even on first day, our walima feasts are kinds of arrogance and showing off and pride and boasting and to show their wealth and to show their status to people. So it means nowadays, the first day, even the first day, is the day of showing off. So if that kind of intention is made in arranging these kind of feasts, so that is not allowed. When we have to follow that sunnah, so we should follow that sunnah with the full spirit of that feast. And particularly inviting poor people in these wedding feasts is very important, and that is very emphasized. So that's why I would say that wherever any walima feast is arranged, at least a few poor people must be invited into those, whether those are relatives or friends or they are strange people. But they must be invited so that the people would be away from that warning in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that is the worst walima in which rich people are invited and the poor people are left away.
Simplicity is one of the biggest characteristics of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But as time is passing, I think we are losing that simplicity as well. Coming to the walima reception or walima, I mean wedding feast. So there are some people, you know, they spend huge amount of money on walima unnecessarily. For example, when two or three dishes are enough, so they are, you know, organizing or arranging 10 or 12 dishes. And we know personally that after that walima finishes, lot of food is still remaining and that is left over and then it will be thrown or dumped somewhere. So my question is that if someone is arranging this type of wedding feast, spending lot of money and, you know, more than necessary dishes are being cooked, so what is your opinion regarding this?
I think there should be moderation in that. When someone is rich, so he will arrange a walima feast according to his status. But there shouldn't be any kind of arrogance. If there is any kind of arrogance or showing off, so though whether that person is rich or poor, when there is arrogance and pride and showing off, then that would be sinner. The person would be sinner and that feast is consisting of sin. But if there is no arrogance, there is no showing off, a person is arranging that according to his status and according to his richness, so then it is allowed for him to do so. There is no harm in that. But mostly it happens when people arrange according to their richness and they spend a lot of money in that, so then pride must come into that, arrogance must come into that, and showing off must come in that. And sometimes there is competition between relatives, between friends. You arrange that kind of things in your walima, so I am arranging this kind of things in my walima feast. So when there is competition, so it means they are boasting to each other. They are competing with each other, and then there must be pride and arrogance and showing off in that. Otherwise, if these kind of things are not found in that, so then that is allowed. There is no harm in that. But the people should be a little bit moderate in that, because sometimes it happens. People are arranging that kind of walima. In that area where a lot of people, hundreds of people, thousands of people are very poor and they are in the need of food. Those people are deprived of food and their basic needs. And these kind of people are arranging that kind of feast. I know there are many stories which I have read in newspaper, you might have read in newspapers. The people spend billions of rupees in their walima feast. Even in Pakistan, I read one story and I was surprised. Because that was regarding one city, which is very uncommon city, and that is a very small city in Pakistan. So the person of that city, there was a wedding ceremony of his brothers, not his own. That was the wedding feast of his brothers. So he spent 2 billion rupees in that. And the people were invited from other countries. Many people were invited from other countries. And those people were provided stay in 5-star hotels, and they were provided with Land Cruisers and Prados and these kind of vehicles. So that kind of arrangement was done in that feast. So through that and the lighting, the decoration, so many miles there was decoration and there was arrangement, and many thousands of people were invited in that feast. So 2 billion rupees that person spent in that small city. And I know the condition of that city, what is the condition of other people. Most of the people of that area, they are deprived of even water. The pure water is not available for those people. And because of the dirty water, they are getting sick because of that dirty water, and they are suffering from hepatitis B and C and this and that. So if people are suffering from these kind of sickness and illness and diseases, and the other people who are rich and they are arranging that kind of things, so what would be the outcome? And what would be really the people of that area, the poor people of that area would be heartbroken. So that's why I would say, though according to the richness of a person arranges, but he shouldn't show off his money at that extent. That the poor people get deprived of food and they get heartbroken.
Allah, Allah. The viewers of Madri channel, you have heard that Mufti Sahib is saying that clean drinking water is not available and people, they are showing their richness. You know, people are deprived of their basic needs, but rich people, they are showing their richness. Allahu Akbar. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to one of his bondsmen that I was sick and you didn't come and visit me. I was thirsty, you didn't come and give me water. I was hungry, you didn't come and feed me. Reviewers of Madni channel, that bondsman, that man will ask, O Allah Azza wa Jal, you are free from any kind of need. You are samad. You are not in need of eating and drinking, and you can't fall ill as well. So that time Allah Azza wa Jal will reply that my so and so bondsman was thirsty. If you had come and gave him water, it was as if you had given me water. If you had come and fed him, it was as if you have fed me. Allahu Akbar. So dear viewers of Madni channel, please, in the moments of your joy, when you are enjoying the life and when you are happy, must not forget poor people, those who are deprived of their basic needs, those who are unable to drink clean water. The contaminated water is in their area. If it is possible, with the intention of Sadqa Jariya, organize a well for them or hand pump for them or try to bring clean water for them. Allahu Akbar. So inshallah Azza wa Jal, because of this, on the day of judgment, you will be able to earn the pleasure of Almighty Allah.
One story coming to my mind now regarding Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, because he was a rich person, and what was his attitude towards poor and needy people. Once there was famine in Madinatul Munawwara, so the people were deprived of food and they were in difficulties in those days. So the caravan of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala came from Egypt. And they were loaded with wheat and grains and the basic needs of the people. So the people came, the traders of Medina, they came to Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala and they asked, O Usman, would you like to sell your caravan to us? Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala asked them, what would you pay? They said, we would pay you more than routine. If you earn 2% profit, so we would pay you 4% or 6% and 10%. So they increase the profit till 100%. Means if your whole business is of 1 million rupees, so we will pay you 2 million rupees. Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala answered them, I have sold that out to someone who is paying me more than you.
They said, okay, that's okay
that you have sold out all your stuff to someone, but tell us who is that and what is he paying to you. Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala answered him that he is my Lord Allah Azza wa Jal, who has promised in the Holy Quran, man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amsaliha. Who will bring one virtue in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal will grant him 10 times more. So I have sold out all that stuff to Allah Azza wa Jal, and I hope only in the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala announced in Madinatul Munawwara, oh, the destitute people of the Medina, or the poor people of Medina, come and whatever you want to take, you can take from my stuff, and it is charity for you. So then he gave all that stuff in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal to poor people. So that was the mindset. That was the mindset of those people who were rich, but they were trained by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they had mentality of earning reward more and more from Allah.
Subhanallah. The viewers of Madni channel, a true Muslim is that who brings comfort for others. And what is condition of us nowadays? That if a Muslim is in need of something, we hold that thing back, so that we can earn profit more than routine. Allahu Akbar. There comes a hadith in my mind that he who removes difficulties and troubles from his Muslim brother in this world, Allah Azza wa Jal will remove difficulties and troubles from him on the day of judgment. If you want to see yourself on the day of judgment amongst those people who are successful and those people who will be given special reward on the day of judgment, please try to give comforts to others and do not create problems for others. Mustaf, coming to the point, we are talking about hosting and guests. So you just, in answer to your first question, you said that to accept the invitation for Walima is Sunnat-e-Muakkada, and sometimes it is sin if someone refuses that. So that was particularly for Walima. But I mean, other than Walima, if someone comes and invites us, so there are two types of people. So I want to ask regarding both of them. Number one, those people who are invited but they don't accept invitation and they don't go. So what is the commandment of Sharia regarding these type of people who do not go in spite of having invitation? Number two, there are some people who are, you know, like unwanted guests. They are not invited, but you know, secretly they go, they eat and then they run away.
Yes, there are two kind of people. Some people, they don't go anywhere, wherever they are invited. So I think that is not desirable thing, because accepting the invitation of people is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is the sunnah of pious people as well. Now, about those people who are uninvited, but in spite of that, they go to those feasts and they eat. So the commandment of Sharia regarding those people is very severe, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told regarding those people who go somewhere without invitation. So those people go as thieves and they come back as plunderer. So that is the warning for these people. But there might be in some situation it would be allowed. As there is one hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, one sahabi came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose kunyat was Abu Shu'aib. He said to his slave to prepare food for five people, and he said, I am going to invite Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam along with four other sahaba ikram. So he went to the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he invited, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is invitation at my home for you. So please come to my home with four of your companions. At the time of feast, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to his home. So the along with four companions, another person came with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the house of that person. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that person, and when they reached at the door of that sahabi Abu Shu'aib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first sought permission from that sahabi that you invited five people, but this person has come with us. So now if you allow us, then it will come with us. And if you don't allow, so he will go back. Then Hazrat Abu Shu'aib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu gave permission to that sixth person as well. And then that person ate with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that home. So this hadith shows that if any person comes with the invited ones and that person is not invited, so now it would be the responsibility of the guest of honor that he should take permission for that person. And now it would be in the hand of that host whether he gives permission or not. If he doesn't give permission, so then it wouldn't be allowed for the uninvited person to enter the home and to eat the food of that host. And if that inviter, the host, gives permission, then it would be allowed for him to go. But there are some, I would say, there must be some precautions here. And what are those? Sometimes when one person seeks permission from someone, so just because of shyness, that host gives permission. So now it would be upon those guests. They should think about the nature of permission, whether he is giving permission with his pleasure and with his will, or he is just because of shyness he is giving permission. If the second is the case, so then the uninvited person must not enter the home and he must not eat the food of that host. And if the host gives permission with his pleasure and with his will and with his consent, so then it will be allowed for the uninvited person to enter the home.
The viewers of Madni Channel, as Mufti Saab said, that it is desirable that if we are invited and if it is possible for us, then we should go there. As Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala's beautiful story, which I gave you in one of the last silsilas, so Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala was invited. And who came with invitation? A small boy, a young boy came, and he invited Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala at his home. And see the condition of that home. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, very lovingly asked that young boy, that what will you cook for me, what will you arrange for me? So that boy that time was carrying the dal, lentils, and then few chilies. So he showed that dal and those chilies to Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala and very proudly said that we will cook this dal tomorrow for you. And Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala accepted that invitation, went there and ate, and at the time of departure Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala said that if people invite me on these kind of feasts with sincerity, so I would surely accept each and every invitation.
Allah radiallahu ta'ala anhu basically said these words because that kind of food was not suitable for Allah radiallahu ta'ala. So one of the servants of Allah radiallahu ta'ala requested, Hazrat, it is not suitable for you. If you eat that, so you will get sick. So then Allah radiallahu ta'ala answered in that way because of the sincerity of these people. The way of sincerity in which they invited me, if I am invited daily, so I will accept the invitation of these people.
Subhanallah. Ashmo Sahib, coming to another thing, sometimes it happens that one goes as a guest somewhere and they don't give him warm reception, they don't entertain him properly, even some of them they don't give him even one cup of tea. So now he comes back at his home. One day the host, which was host, now he comes at his home and now he says that this is the time to set my personal score and let me take revenge from him. Said, okay, so let him come today, I will not give him anything. So this kind of behavior is appreciable in Islam?
There might be many situations like that, like this situation, there might be many situations. Sometimes we speak to someone and we speak him very politely, but he answers us very in impolite way. Sometimes we help someone, but at the time of our difficulty, he doesn't help us. So there are many conditions in which that kind of behavior could appear. So regarding all these situations or regarding all these behaviors, our religion Islam has taught us good manners. As in the ayah of the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِيهِ أَحْسَن. Remove the evil with good means if someone misbehaves you, so in the response of that person, you should behave him in good way. And what would be the outcome of that? So Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. So then the one between whom and you there was enmity, so he would become your close friend. So that is the outcome of good behavior. So that is not good for us and that is not suitable for us to behave in the same way. If someone misbehaves us, so we misbehave that person in the same way, that is not good. And this is not only in this regard, in every matter we have been commanded to behave in good way. And there is particular hadith regarding host and guest. One person came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I visited someone and he didn't entertain me appropriately. So now if that person comes to me, so shall I host him appropriately or I will behave in the same manner? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you should host him in appropriate way. Means it is not allowed for you to behave him in the same way because it happens sometimes because of the problems of that person. Sometimes we go to someone and that person is in difficulty that time and he can't welcome us warmly. So now if we keep that incident in our mind for our whole life, and whenever that person comes to us and we misbehave him in that way, so that will be very wrong. Because if we should have some positive opinion regarding that person, he might be in difficulty, he might be in that condition in which he can't welcome me properly. But if we know that the person didn't behave us in good way because of his nature, because of his habits, even then we are not allowed to misbehave them in the same way. We have to be polite and kind and affectionate to other people.
Subhanallah. And the viewers of Madni channel, there is a hadith of Mubarakah in which our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to one of his sahabas that he who deprives you, you grant him. Meaning, as Mufti Sahib is giving wonderful example, that if someone is misbehaving with you, is rude with you, still, if it is possible for you, be polite with him. If you are answering in the same way, so you are going to destroy the relationship between you and him. If someone is breaking ties with you, try to mend ties with him, because it is also one of the commandments from Sharia. Achha, Mufti Sahib, there is another thing. Is it compulsory for the host to make something special, to arrange something special for the guest? Because everyone is not able to arrange something special out of routine. So, if whatever is present at home, whatever is available at home, if he gives that thing to the guest, still it is permissible.
Well, there is one hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the food of guest. What kind of food should be for guest? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the first day is jaiza, and the second and third day is ziyafa, and the fourth day is sadaqa. Jaiza means on the first day when guest comes, the first day host should prepare some special food for him. Means he has done something for him, not as routine, whatever he eats daily, so he is providing to him. So he should prepare some special thing for him. But on the second and third day, whatever is available at home, he should provide that to his guest. And after that, if he provides something to his guest, that would be sadaqah. So it means on first day, if a person is in the capacity of doing something, he can do something, then he should prepare some special thing for his guest. Otherwise, when a person is deprived of his own food, so how can he prepare for his guest? Yeah, if for following the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and following that hadith, if someone borrows some money from someone and then he prepares for his guest, so that would be very beautiful, that would be very good.
Ashmaqsab, as Islam, you know, gives manners in each and everything, so there must be manners regarding, as some of them you have already mentioned, so there must be some ways to entertain and attend your guest. So what is the best for a host to do for his guest?
The best thing is that which is mentioned in hadith. As I have mentioned that hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim dhayfa." Whosoever has belief in Allah and in the day of judgment, he should give honor to his guest. Means giving honor to guest is the main thing which has been emphasized in that hadith. Now it depends upon the society, it depends upon the customs, and it depends upon the tradition. Whatever tradition is in society, the host should adopt those. He should make his guest pleased with him. When guest departs from home, so he should be pleased with the manners of host, with the food of host, with the speaking of host, the way of speaking of the host, and with and whatever is provided to him, he would be pleased with that. So that would be the best way of entertaining our guest.
There is another thing, you know, meaning guests are commonly believed to be rahmat of Almighty Allah. But there are some guests, when they come to a home, they bring lot of stories with them as well. Especially it is habit of women that when they come with lot of stories. Now, women sit together, they start tale-telling, backbiting. So, this type of guest, what are the harms of these type of guests? And what would you suggest for the guest that how can he avoid, you know, creating the environment of backbiting and tale-telling?
Yeah, that is very undesirable and difficult situation to avoid when the people come and they are that type of guest and they start backbiting or blaming other people. So then it will be very difficult to stop those people. But I think for the solution of these kind of guests, first of all is to avoid these people. The second is to start any good topic. They should start discussion regarding good matters and good topics, so that they can divert the conversation towards other thing. And if they can't do that, and they are unable to stop that person as well, so then they should consider that kind of habit as bad in their heart, because that is the lowest level of their iman. Because when they can't stop any person from backbiting and from any sin, so then it would be compulsory for that person to feel that bad and to consider that bad in his heart, so then he would be free from sin.
Achha, Mufti Sahab, I mean, some guests, it's my personal observation as well, they come with, you know, critical mind. They come at your home, then they start watching everything, for example, what dress you are wearing, what are you eating, then they start, you know, passing comments regarding the walls of your home, then the behavior of your children. And what happens that when they leave that home, as if they are taking mercy, the domestic bliss, domestic peace with them as well, because the moment they leave the home, wife and husband, they start shouting and fighting with each other. You know, dad starts hitting the children. So these type of guests who come with critical, you know, with critical mindset or negative mentality, so how should we, I mean, make them understand that this is not something right?
This is the problem of guest, not the problem of host.
Yeah, ji.
We mentioned the rights of guest,
ji.
But there are some rights of host as well.
Over the guest.
We mentioned the rights of guest. Okay, what host we should do for them. But there are some rights of host as well, which are on those guests. Because that is the right of host, that one guest comes to the house of someone, so he must not criticize the things, the stuff of the house and the children of the host.
Mm-hmm.
He should be silent. He should be busy only in a good conversation,
mm-hmm,
and a reasonable conversation. And if he finds or if he looks any kind of wrong and any kind of error at home, so he should be silent regarding that, because it would be considered as bad manner to speak about the wrongs and the problems of the host. So that would be the right of host over guest. So if guest is doing that, so he is violating the rights of his host, and that's why there is one hadith in which it is commanded, after 3 days, the guest must not stay to the extent that he makes the host indulge in backbiting. Means if he stays more than 3 days, so then what would happen after that? The household, so they will start speaking about that person, what time this person will go, what time this person will depart our home and we will take our peace at our home. So that kind of thing must not happen. After 3 days, and sometimes for 3 days, sometimes before that, because it depends upon the kind of that guest. Some guests come only for a few minutes. Some guests come only for a few hours. If after that they stay at home, so they can disturb the households. And if the person is only our friend, so he won't stay at our home for a few days. He will stay at our home for a few hours. But if, for example, someone comes to me and I am very busy, I have to read, I have to do something, I have to prepare something, so, and he stays more than 1 hour, more than 2 hours, so I will get disturbed. I will pray in my heart for that person to go. Oh Allah, please take this person away, because he is disturbing me and he is consuming my time. So it depends upon the type of those guests. So it is and that is the right of host. Not to disturb, not to confuse, not to worry him. So if those people do, so really they are indulging those household people in sin because of their existence, because of their stay at their home.
The viewers of Madni Channel, I myself have observed that many a times it happens that host and his family, they are living very happy life, and then guests come, and when they come, they start, you know, pointing out the faults, and they somehow create some sort of trouble and some sort of, you know, issue at that home. And even sometimes it happens that if a boy from the home of host was engaged with someone, so these guests, they come, and when they leave, the engagement is broken. Allahu Akbar. So please, whenever you are going somewhere, must be very careful. If you can't bring comfort with you for them, then at least you should not snatch comfort from them as well. So, Mufti Sahab, last question. mehman, meaning guests, they are commonly believed to be the mercy of Almighty Allah. So Muslims, they receive them as mercy. Some people, they say that if for a long time guests do not come and visit your home, so it means that you are sinner and mercy of Almighty Allah is not coming to your home. So is it true?
Guest is the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal because he brings many virtues with him for his host, because when host entertains him in good way, so he earns rewards because of that guest. So in that way we can say guest is the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. But it is not sin if no guest comes to the house of someone, but there might be some other reason. So if there reason, if because of some reasons no guest comes to the house of someone, so then there might be sin. As if someone comes to the house of someone and the host, so he misbehaves him and he worries him and he confuses him, so then might be because of this behavior this host would be sinner. And might be in some other situations, if guest doesn't come to the house of someone because of his misbehaviors and bad manners, so because of that they have left to come to the house of this person, so then in some situation this person might be sinner. But if there is no reason, and without any reason no one comes as a guest to his home, so then there is no harm in that and the person is not sinner.
Subhanallah. Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti sahab. The viewers of Madani channel, guest is really mercy of Almighty Allah, and it is your responsibility to entertain him in the best way. And then it is also sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam to entertain the guest in the best way. So with these words, I seek permission from you. Inshallah, we will come again with the beautiful episode of this silsila, Faizan-e-Islam. I make dua that may Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal makes all of us practicing Muslim. Ameen, ameen, bijahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold.